Hello and welcome to the latest Woodman Corner, the West Bromwich Albion podcast that thinks the revolution has already begun. I am Graham Brown, I'm sat here with Joe Chapman.
Graham, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. And this week we're going to be talking about the players that Albion have been linked with. See what we think. So later on in the podcast I've been speaking to Gregor McGregor, who writes about Bristol City for the Bristol Post and Bristol Live Online, about two of the players we've been linked with, Bobby Reid and Aidan Flint. He's had interesting things to say about them. But Joe, let's talk about five things that happen at the moment. Bobby Reid and Flint being two of them. We've been linked with Romain Sawyers, we've been linked with Bradley Dack, and there is some talk of a new contract for Craig Dawson. So let's go first with Bobby Reid. He seems to be the one that's kind of most plausible. So it looks like they're on the periphery of making an offer, £7 million. You'd have thought it would probably cost a little bit more than that. What do you think?
I think Albion are in a pretty strong bargaining position. It seems like that Reid hasn't really got much of an interest in signing a new deal. So you think £7 million is a pretty decent offer. I'm not sure Bristol City are in a position to demand that much more.
He's got one season left, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he wants to play at a higher level. I understand that moving to Albion in some circles might even be considered a sideways move this year, but they're going to be in a stronger position.
It won't be a sideways move for his bank balance. We were talking to Gregor earlier on, and he was saying that they don't pay great wages, and I mean Albion will pay comparable wages to a Premier League side. I think the problem with Bobby Reid is going to be the problem with a lot of the players that we're after, is that we're after, I will say this, there's about 25-ish teams that compete in the same, there's five teams that will compete in the same pool as some of the Premier League teams, which puts us on the kind of same time frame as them. I think Villa's another one, yeah, maybe Leeds if they fall into money, certainly Stoke and probably Swansea, but probably not Villa now. But that means that it kind of, you've got less control over the time span of it. Until they know they're not going to go to a Premier League team, they're probably not going to want to rush it through. I doubt Bobby Reid's team want to rush his transfer through, because they probably want to hang about and say, well, can he earn more and can he play for Fulham or something like that?
Yeah. And Bournemouth have been mentioned as well. And you can see him fitting into a club like that in terms of the squad they've already got there. Whereas Albion, at this moment in time, as Darren Moore kind of gets the wheels in motion, he would almost look kind of out of place in the Albion squad at the minute, Reid. But you know, Albion have to start somewhere in terms of the refurb and everything else that's going to be going on in the transfer window this summer.
I'll be quite hopeful about that, because like, it's how keen he is to, you know, get a deal and move it. But I'll be really pleased if they move.
He's a good age.
On that.
He's 25. He's a good age. He's had a great season. I understand the reservations about the idea of him being a one-hit wonder, but you know,
it's that reason why
we thought this about
that one-hit wonder thing is the reason why Albion might get him. Because the truth is, you know, if he's established 20 goal a season striker, Bournemouth would take him. But as it is, it might just be that Albion can take that risk and maybe bring him in. But anyway, Gregor later on, he talks really highly of Reid and the season that he's just had. He's less fulsome in his praise of Aidan Flint, who, so for context, we put out a show earlier on this season about who's the most plausible player Albion would sign, who would you have? I said Aidan Flint. But actually, I mean, it comes on to say, you know, he's great in the air, but he's got his problems. He makes him sound a little bit like Higazi, actually, to be honest. But how do you feel about Flint? £9 million.
Nah, I wouldn't go near it for £9 million, personally. From what I've seen of Flint, he's very, very tall, he's very, very much an attacking threat from set pieces. Sounds like Gareth McCauley when you're describing him, but I don't think he's the answer for Albion at the back this season. Going into it, I think Albion can do better as regards to recruitment at the back.
You say that, he could do better. Name names then, who'd be better than Aidan?
Okay, well, we've just discussed it. I've thought this off the top of my head, and it would really divide opinion among the Albion fans, because I think he gets a mixed reception every time he comes back to the Hawthorns. But judging by the interest that Frank Lampard quite clearly has in John Terry, I'm wondering if Curtis Davis is going to be available to be snapped up from Derby this summer. Curtis Davis was obviously kind of the little Dave to the big Dave of Darren Moore when they were at the club together for a solitary season.
Yeah.
And there was obviously the big gulf in age at the time between the two. And Davis is obviously a very much a season pro now. He had a good solid season at Derby. And Gary Rowett, it's interesting that Gary Rowett wants to take him to Stoke.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're thinking, if there's the potential at all that Davis would be up for grabs, whether Moore might make a move.
I think that's an interesting thing, actually. It's one of these kicking. I do think that Darren Moore's a big draw for players. And I think, because I would say naturally, I think I've got a feeling Davies might still live in Birmingham. I've seen him in Birmingham once or twice.
He was one of the first people as well to tweet about Moore when Moore got the job and congratulated him on getting.
But I mean, naturally, I would say Stoke are a better place to go back up. They've got deeper pockets than we have. He knows Gary Rowett. There's every reason we're going to Stoke. But Darren Moore is such a humbling character, such a person that kind of stays with you, that he could be the person who'd swing. And personally, just to agree, I mean, I think it will be an unpopular thing, but it's always rankled with me slightly, Curtis Davies, to see him play well for other teams, because I do think he's just my sort of player. He's good in the air, he's got decent pace, he reads the game well. I'd be thrilled to get Curtis Davies, even though you know, it's kind of a short term thing. I think he's probably got maybe two seasons left him at the top. I think he's a player who'll age well.
Me too.
And I do think
he was really getting into his groove at Albion. He got the captaincy.
Yeah.
He got that injury at the back end of the season and missed out on the playoff final. And God knows it might have been a different story if he'd have been fit that day against Derby, ironically, where he's ended up now. But I just think that obviously there's no substance at all. We're just talking into thin air. But
so,
I just think he's one player. I could see it a feasible move potentially this summer if all of it, you know, kind of drops into place with John Terry, and I can't see Derby affording both players. So
what I would say is, welcome to Woodman Corner, where we ask the question: is Aidan Flint any good? And answer the question talking about someone entirely different. But should Curtis Davies ever come on the agenda, we'll let you know. So Romain Sawyers, I imagine you might have seen a little bit of him. What do you think of Romain Sawyers?
I think Romain Sawyers would be a fantastic signing. By the reaction from Brentford fans to the news that Albion were interested in bringing Sawyers back to the Hawthorns, and laughing at the idea that they could get him for £3 million. Tells you all you need to know about how much they rate him. And I watched him a couple of times live, actually, for Brentford this past season, and he ran the show. I was at St Andrews when Brentford went to Blues. I think it was back in October, and he's obviously, you know, he's really grown into himself in terms of his career. He's held down a starting spot at Brentford under Dean Smith, who's nurtured him at Walsall and Brentford, and he's come on leaps and bounds, and he ran the show in midfield that day as well, that Brentford beat Blues 2-0, and he was a major part in the victory.
I tell you, I think it's interesting about it. We used to have this little tiny bald manager that loved enormous huge players all the time, and now we've got this enormous huge manager. And the one thing I think about Reed and Sawyers, and also Bradley Dacre will come on to, is they're all tiny. It's like he started a kind of mini Barcelona revolution, isn't he? With
La Masia down the Hawthorns, yeah.
Our average weight is about to absolutely plummet. Yeah, I like the idea of Sawyers. So actually, well, let's play that game. So we're talking about we're investing $7 million in Reed. What's the acceptable price for Reed?
Well, for Reed,
I'd have said if we paid £10 million for Reed, I'd make my piece of that.
I suppose I'm just kind of factoring this on the last 5 years, whereas it's quite clear that you have to spend money nowadays for even the average player.
So it'd almost be a concern. I think to flip that's what's going to come. So yeah, Reed.
I think 7 or 8 million. I think would
with his Bristol contract City, right now.
Exactly, with a year left and no intention of signing another one. I'm struggling to see how Bristol City turn that money down.
What about Flint? What's an acceptable price for Flint?
Oh, well, nowhere near 9, I don't think. But then, of course, they're well within their rights to ask that because
of
the
contract. Yeah, he's got a 5-year contract.
So they can ask that, and Premier League teams might well be interested, but I wouldn't pay £9 million of Darren Moore's budget on Nathan Flint.
What about Sawyers? So 3 million is the number we said. What's an acceptable figure?
I mean, you're kind of almost trying to save face, aren't you, as Albion? Trying to, you know, how many million are you prepared to splash out on a player that was once one of your academy players? £4-5 million. You make that call. Brentford are used to selling their players. They've sold players.
There's a kind of flip side to that, I would say, which is that if Albion are buying a player from another Championship club for less than £5 million, they probably shouldn't be buying him, if you know what I mean. He's not running out of contract and blah blah blah. You know, even Hotter, who went to Blues, went for £6 million. And if we aren't signing the best, we probably shouldn't be signing them in the first place, really. It's an obscure thing almost to elect to pay more, but I can see the flip side of the Brentford fans' point is that if he is worth that, we shouldn't be buying him.
Well, yeah, but perhaps I think 5 million would, they'd have to seriously consider that.
Yeah,
I think that would probably, you know, if you said right, there's £12 million spent on Bobby Reid and Romain Sawyers, and that's kind of almost your midfield sorted next season,
yeah,
as well as all the money you're going to be getting off the wage bill. in the coming weeks and months, then it's a good start.
So elsewhere, we talk of a £6 million bid for Bradley Dack. You've seen a bit of him, haven't you?
Yeah, a little bit. I thought he was brilliant at Gillingham. I thought he looked poles apart from anything else they had at Gillingham. He's still only a young lad. You know, he's younger than Sawyers and Reed.
Mm-hmm.
And he always looked very, very comfortable in League One at Gillingham. And then he moved to Blackburn, and obviously it's a big deal there. He then becomes a major player in that division. And he was huge for them last year. He got 18, 19 goals, I think. Tony Mowbray got the best out of him. Played a major part, got Team of the Year, got Player of the Year. All these different accolades. And now that Blackburn are going to be in the same division as Albion, it's now whether that would be, you know, enough. Have they got enough to tempt Dak? Have they got enough to tempt Blackburn with the sale of Dak?
I actually think that's Albion's real strength at the moment, is that they've got a budget what's probably three times the size. You know, if they can get players off the books, they have a budget much, much, much higher than the other teams in the division. You know, even including Villa. You know, they've got so much more money from parachute players, and that on the basis they get the players out.
Yeah.
But that's really where they can perform. I've seen a little bit of Dak, because I think it's interesting that the kind of size of these players, they all seem to be kind of tiny. The other thing, just a slight warning sign for Dak for me, is that, you know, if a player's playing well under Tony Mowbray, you know they're going to be an attacking central midfielder, because that's what all of his best players are.
Yeah.
And one thing you'd be fairly comfortable with is he won't be allowed the same freedoms at Albion as he will there, because the cost of the Tony Mowbray way is the goals going in the other way.
Of course, yeah.
So that remains to be seen, but it's sort of an interesting one.
Well, one other point I was going to make on the attacking midfielder option, and if you go and recruit Sawyers and or Reed and or Dak, where does that leave James Morrison? Because, you know, you're expecting Nasser Chadli to move the other side of the World Cup when he gets back.
Yeah.
He'll have interest from all over. I've in no doubt. Where does that leave Morrison? Morrison's.
I mean, I certainly think
he's.
I think the odds say that the common sense answer to Morrison, who hasn't played for kind of 2 years properly, is that he might well not go. But I would say with Reed, you could add Reed to Albion's squad now, Lars. If you know what I mean. Yeah, we haven't really got that sort of a player. We've got a lot of. Sort of like actual wide players like Burke and Phillips and even Chadli and less so Chadli but McLean, they're all kind of effective wide players, whereas players that kind of link the wide position to playing up front, we've got Rodriguez who could do that a bit, yes, but we haven't got that kind of balance. What you really usually, when you've got a front three, you've got a kind of a mobile target man, a kind of wider player, and then someone who kind of links midfield with attack.
Yeah.
And I still think we probably need that, and I think Reed is potentially that person.
Would you play, say you held on to him, would you play Rodriguez as number 9 next year? Is that a feasible?
It's definitely feasible. I mean, I actually think the best games that Rodriguez has had is doing this point I'm making now, which is kind of link attack with midfield. It's so different next year. I mean, the truth is, I do think they're going to need three effective forwards. Mm. You know, you're still going to need to go both ways. But when you have a lot of the ball, what you can't afford to do is have one player up front. So I think the real value of Rodriguez is in his ability to do both those things, and he actually can play number 9 one week and number 10 next, and actually perform in both. That said, I'm not afraid of losing Rodriguez. I think one of the things that Albion have shown in the past couple of years is the value or the cost of not selling players at their peak. You know, we've seen the epitome of that with Evans Just. But I'd like if Albion can get let's say £20 million for Jay Rodriguez and can replace him with let's say Lewis Graben for £10 million, I wouldn't think that's the end of the world. I think Jay Rodriguez is at his peak. He's a good player, but he's not superb. He's not got much more to offer the club.
Yeah, does he get better?
Yeah, so I wouldn't be kind of afraid of that. So the other thing they've done, we're talking about an offer to Dawson. What do you think about that?
I think that's very, very wise. Going into next season, I still think Dawson needs a defensive partner.
Oh, gotcha.
By the way. And should they hold on to him, he'll be a first name on the team sheet.
Fighting saying Curtis Davis would be a brilliant partner.
Well, you can imagine. Between us two here and now, that would be some pairing next year, I think. Dawson and Davis be very, very effective, I think. But Dawson, he definitely came out of the Premier League season. One of the better lights, I suppose, of a pretty dreadful campaign, and you know, he's made it very, very clear in the past on a number of occasions that central defence is where he sees himself. He's now at an age where you've got to let him play there because he's in his prime. He's coming into his prime as a defender.
Oh, yeah.
He needs to play in his favourite position. He needs to play in this position he's most effective in. He's done a pretty decent, solid job at right back in the last few years, but now's the time. If you're going to hold on to him, you've got to accommodate him in his best role. You've got to give him what he wants to that extent. So I think Dawson, again, he'll be a very, very solid centre-back in the Championship.
So I wholeheartedly agree. And just to kind of wrap all this up, I'm really, really impressed with what I've heard out of Albion out of the last few days. I mean, one of the things I said before is that if they can just basically kick Dawson's claws down the road 12 months, if they can go to Dawson and say, you've got a clause to leave, how about we will pay you the same as we paid you in the Premier League for the next year, and if you don't earn it then you can go. You give us one season in the Championship, we will maintain your pay, so you're not going to earn more at Burnley or wherever else. You'll earn the same here. You could be captain here, potentially. Who knows?
All I'm going to say is
they should throw everything at Craig Dawson. Yeah. He's the person who offers them the most consistency at centre-half. And you're right, we're only one sign away from having a good back four there. So I really, really endorse that. And I think the players that they're linked with elsewhere seem to me to be really, really smart. You know, Sawyers and Reed in particular, I think, is really, really exciting. So I've had a habit of getting this wrong, but you know, in the same way as we were bouncing around when they signed Dean Sawyers, I do just feel like this is the first signs that that Albion and Moore are getting things right, are addressing the problems in the right area, and are potentially, especially the fact that they're moving early as well, they're doing the right things. I'm heartened by them.
It's early June. I suppose to an extent they haven't really got all that much time to work with. They've got the World Cup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They've got until the early August, remember, not the end. So I suppose time is forcing their hand a little bit to a degree. But yeah, that said, if they can get these deals done kind of in the next week or two, then you're giving yourself a very, very good platform for which to build on. And then, you know, you're going to have players that are going to be leaving the club, obviously, and are going to be fetching a few million quid in funds. So Albion have been pretty good in the transfer window over the course of the last 5, 6, 7 years in terms of money they've spent. If you look back at McCauley, look back at Jakob, look back at even Dawson, you know. Yeah. Money that's been spent on those players compared to up until last season, compared to what they got back, i.e. Premier League stability. You know, they haven't actually spent that much money. They've spent wisely. Now it's time to kind of, you know, give the market, and you need to get themselves back. You don't want to be in a position like Villa in the next year or two, where you know all the financial constraints kick in and you're left with the mess that Villa find themselves in.
Amen to that. Fortunately, there's barely two people on earth that are less like each other than Tony Jarre and Mark Jenkins. So I'm sure it'll work out. So that's mine and Joe's view on it. I think we're both pleased with the progress under Big Dave. But let's hand over now to Gregor McGregor, who I spoke to earlier on, who writes about Bristol City for the Bristol Post. So this is his view on Bobby Reid and Aidan Flint. Okay, so I'm on now with Gregor McGregor, who writes about Bristol City for Bristol Live. Gregor, thanks for joining us on Woodman Corner.
How you doing, chaps?
Yeah, we're great, thank you. So it seems to me that the Albion and Bristol City, their paths are crossing quite a lot in the last few days. I've been linked with both Bobby Reid and Aidan Flint, who's someone that we've been linked with an awful lot from you. So if I could start, Bobby Reid, what's he like? Are you a fan?
Yeah, well, you can't knock his quality, really. He scored 19 league goals last season. He was among the top scorers, but if you add in assists, then he was the most lethal player in the league. So I can completely understand why the Baggies would be looking at him. Reid, and furthermore, I think he's a big fan of Darren Moore as well. He recently tweeted about him saying, "Go on, Darren," on Twitter. So he obviously keeps an eye on what's happening there. I don't know if there's any other connection than that, but I can completely understand why they're interested.
He seems an interesting one for me. I mean, I've just been looking into his background. I mean, he's 25, so he's not the youngest, but he seems to sort of come a bit out of nowhere. It seems like they're loaning him out for a bit. He had a half decent season, then all of a sudden he's transformed. But is that fair? I mean, was he a big name before last season?
So the background, Bobby, is that basically they didn't really work out what his best position was. And last summer, they actually tried him in a new position. They pushed him up front. And basically, Lee Johnson is a big sort of man who's into his stats and his data and everything. And he'd been analysing the stats behind Bobby Reed's game and training and everything, and he realised that he was displaying all the attributes that he wanted from a frontline striker. So when they lost Tammy Abraham last year, they brought in Sam Jehu, but they also decided to give Bobby Reed a chance up front because he was showing exactly what they wanted. So yeah, and it's basically snowballed from there. He scored something like in six games running across pre-season, and he was just in great form coming into the start of the league, and he scored two goals against Barnsley in the first game of the season. And I was in a press conference with him after the game, and they were both sat there, both very, very pleased with themselves. Lee Johnson with having the tactical nous to push him further forward, and Bobby Reed and successfully making the conversion to a striker. And he's done that over the season, but that's really why he hadn't kind of played too much before. Because really, he started off as a central midfielder, attacking midfielder, and his all-round game was good. He's always been very technically excellent. He's a live-wire striker, he's got bundles of energy, but he probably didn't offer quite enough to gain first-team football in those kind of positions. So it's been the making of him basically this season. So he'll be a striker for the moment. He's a very, very
So what's the story about why you might potentially be leaving? Because I mean, Bristol, you know, they were flying pretty high last season, and they're pretty well. They've got some good backing behind them. I mean, do you expect him to leave? He seems to be linked with so many clubs that it seems like kind of a matter of when, not if. But is that right?
I think there's a high chance he's going to leave. Yeah, so I put it up there around sort of 90% or something. Basically, he's got just 1 year left on his deal, and this kind of comes back to the background story in that he wasn't playing as much before. He probably couldn't have seen his future at Bristol City going the way it did over the last year, because it's just been a phenomenal rise, changing position and becoming a mainstay of the team. The only other things to factor in really are that he's a Bristolian. He's come through the Bristol City Academy. He's got plenty of friends there. He's very, very good friends with Joe Bryan. The two of them have played a lot together. They've known each other since the age of 10, 11. It's a bit of a surprise to some people. It's just a case, really, of him letting his contract wind down, because before this year, as I say, he wasn't a regular part of the team. It didn't look like he was going to be playing regularly. Unfortunately for Bristol City, they didn't tie him up before. He's exploded into form. And, yeah, now it's the opposite. Now a lot of people are suddenly taking interest in him. I know for myself that plenty of Premier League sides have been scouting at Bristol City, Ashton Gate this season, keeping an eye on the likes of Reed, Bryan and Flint, because we have got some decent players down this way. There's plenty of interest in Reed, as I say, and now he's the opposite. He wants to see suddenly where he can go. And another factor in this is that Bristol City, despite having a very wealthy owner behind them, don't pay the biggest wages, unfortunately. They just don't have the financial infrastructure behind them. They're a long, long way behind the likes of West Brom and clubs coming down from the Premier League, let alone Premier League sides. So if it comes down to money, they're going to be basically blown away. And especially West Brom coming down with parachute payments, they'll be able to treble his wages. And as you've just said yourself, 25 years old, so maybe it's going to be looking to the long term and get that big deal, and I would completely understand that.
Would you, just finally on Bobby Reed, I would guess that you're closer to this than I am, that there'd be a likelihood of some interest in the Premier League, wouldn't there? I mean, they've talked about Fulham, haven't they? There's a few teams that in all likelihood, he might... Albin is a comparatively sideward step, whereas he it's quite plausible he'd be making an upward step, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think there will be at some point some Premier League interest. I mean, I know myself that some teams like Bournemouth, we've reported on this in the past, Bournemouth have been very keen on watching Bristol City's players. They've sent their head of recruitment, their head of the consultancy recruitment, that's Andy Burton, and Eddie Howe's half-brother has been down a couple of times to Ashton Gate. And I don't think they're alone. There's other clubs as well. Now, whether they're actually going to take a chance on a player who really has only got this 1 year of consistent form behind him, I'm not too sure. But I wouldn't be surprised if some further in the summer, if Albion don't tie up a deal now, I wouldn't be surprised if some Premier League clubs came sniffing around him. And I guess it would be a gamble for them a little bit, like it always is in plucking a player from the lower leagues. But we've seen Brighton and the likes of Burnley doing that and Bournemouth with success. So, yeah, I would not be surprised to see that happen.
And then the second part, funnily enough, we were asking the fans earlier on in the summer if you could name one player that Albion could plausibly sign, who would it be? And my answer was Aidan Flint. And then, as it turns out, unsurprisingly, I guess, given that we've been linked with him several times before, it looks like he is a player that Albion would take an interest in. Is he one you'd expect to leave this summer?
Aidan Flint, I'm not too sure about, because it's a bit of an odd one. He had his head turned last summer by Birmingham. He wanted to leave the club then, and basically he was left out of the team at the beginning of the season. His head wasn't right, according to Lee Johnson. But he knuckled down, he got back in the side, the move didn't come about, and he's been brilliant this year, as he has been over the last sort of 3-4 years, really, for Bristol City. The thing with him is he signed a new 5-year long-term deal back in January. I'm just not too sure whether too many clubs will really, really go for him, because he's a bit older, he's sort of 28. The other thing is, as someone watches him really regularly, week to week, I do think he's a really, really quality player. He's a top defender. However, he does have a few weaknesses in his game that he maybe just still needs to iron out. I wouldn't class him a very, very top level defender. However, in the air and goal scoring, he is a monster. He's arguably the best in the league at that. And I think a lot of people who maybe don't watch him week in, week out, probably see all the goals he scores and everything, and like that side of him. But if you watch him a lot and you scout him properly, then I'm not so sure many clubs would maybe take him at the price that Bristol City would demand, bearing in mind he's got this 5-year contract behind him. You'd probably be talking sort of 10 million plus. Then I'm not too sure so many would take a gamble on him. But you never know. He is a quality player. He's brilliant in the air. He will get your goals. And he's a really great guy as well.
What are his shortcomings? I guess we're talking about concentration, positional play, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got decent pace. He's maybe not the quickest, but there are a few defenders at this level who are. He's maybe not the quickest on the turn either, but maybe focus and concentration at the back there. But by and large, he's a quality player. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's mid-level defender. He's a top defender, but he's not. Well, I don't think he's on the same kind of calibre as say, the centre-backs that made Cardiff, who went up last season, and some other sides as well. But maybe he makes up for that with his goal scoring, I don't know. But I just wouldn't be surprised if basically he stayed around this summer.
Yeah, well, 5 years is quite the same. Greg, I really appreciate your time. Thank you ever so much for joining us this week. Okay, so thank you to Gregor McGregor for that, and thanks for joining us again this week on Woodman Corner. Thank you, Joe,
for
being a good friend as ever.
Partners in crime.
Exactly. So we've come out a bit earlier this week because there's movement. We'll continue to do that across the course of this close season. If there's any big transfer news, we'll try and break out on Woodman Corner. So please join us whenever we do, and tell your friends about us. See you again next week.